Let us pray. O Lord God, on this day of Pentecost, we invite your Spirit into this moment. Not that you haven't been with us, Lord, from the beginning, but we invite you into the words that I speak. May they bring you honor and glory. May they touch lives in a way that are transformative. May we catch the fire. In your name we pray. Amen. What a great day we've had so far, isn't it? I mean, any time that we can gather and celebrate the life of our people, of our church, the children in this case, the teachers, the adults, it was a large group, wasn't it? It takes a lot of people committed and devoted to help our children move from one part of their life to the other. You know, wasn't it amazing? We had preschool graduates, and we had a doctoral graduate. The width, the length, the breadth, you know, the sizes, the shapes, the ages. You know, we just had this wonderful moment and time together that we could celebrate that life of all who have been seeking to learn, have been trying to acquire knowledge in their lives. So I got to back up. John's took over my thing. He's trying to get me through this message quick. I want you to say this with me. Fear the Lord, catching the fire. Now, a number of years ago, management expert Peter Drucker went to Japan and revolutionized the production of that country through his methods. And he said this one time. He says, all too often, people focus on efficiency, doing things right, instead on effectiveness, doing the right thing. Let me say that again. He said, people too often focus on efficiency, doing things right, instead of on effectiveness, doing the right thing. There's a few things, he says, that are pleasing to the Lord and less productive. Drucker says, than an engineering department that rapidly turns out beautiful blueprints for the wrong product. And working on the right things is what makes work effective. They're wise words for anybody in a business setting, but they're also very wise words for those of us who are trying to live a good life. So how do we know that we're doing the right thing? How do we know we're living the right way, the moral and pleasing good way to God, instead of doing the wrong things in an inefficient or efficient way? So what I want you to do is turn in your bulletin to the Proverbs scripture, and look at me with this the scripture for a second. You know, King Solomon is the one who wrote this proverb. And so he said these words in the beginning. For the proverbs are for learning about wisdom, instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity. So I want you to circle the words wisdom and instruction. How you doing? You got those circled? There's a lot of good words in there. You could probably circle the whole thing and try to remember it. But the scriptures, through God's words, the scriptures, and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit that speaks what we call revelation, speaks through those scriptures to us, God teaches us what is right and then enables us to do it. Which brings us to verse 7, our first memorization verse today. Say this with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, it's not about just going to school. You know, but going to school is very important. I don't want anybody to not think that they shouldn't go to school. Okay? You need to go to school, but it's not just about going to school. It's not just about studying hard, because studying hard is really important.
You need to study hard. I bet if you talk to Tom, who got his doctorate in law, he would tell you that he has studied hard pretty much all of his life. It's part of his who he is. And I think if you looked at anybody, we help each other and we try to teach to study hard. It's important, but it's not the end all to what we're talking about today. As Peter Drucker said, you can have knowledge, do things right, but if you want to have wisdom, you got to do the right thing. And that begins with the fear of the Lord. You know, King Solomon wrote the Proverbs, and he was considered the wisest person of his time. You know, when he was young, his father, King David, died. And as a young boy, 10, 12 years old, he became the king of the nation of Israel. Can you imagine that? How old are you when you're 12? What grade are you in when you're 12, guys, gals? Who, can somebody shout it out for me? Are you like 5th or 6th grade, something like that? Did I get that right? I lost track. Yeah, okay. So can you imagine becoming the king of a nation? You 5th graders, you 6th graders, you think you could do it? You think you could handle it? But God came to Solomon and said, I will give you anything that you want. You know what Solomon asked for? Wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom to do the right thing, to do things right, to make the right decisions. And so Solomon became known as the wisest man in the world. And people would travel for miles and days to come and share with him their struggle, whatever they were trying to figure out, and ask him to help them to find the answer to it, because he was so wise. And here Solomon is saying today, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, that's an interesting statement, and I want to read that. Comes out of the New Revised Standard of the Bible. So those of you who got Bibles today, you could look that up in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and you would see what it says there. But I want to read to you out of the Message version, which is not actually a translation. It's a transliteration, which is to try to help us to understand in common English, how we speak today, how we talk today. And it says this, start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Only fools thumb their nose at such wisdom and learning. So say with me again, fear the Lord. Let's do it one more time. Fear the Lord. Now, that word fear appears 25 times in the Old Testament. And every time it's connected to God. But I bet you when you heard that word fear, what you thought was terror, was to be afraid of God. And that's not it. That word in Hebrew is morah. And that means dread or terror. That's not the word that the writers use when they put fear of God, fear of the Lord there. What they use is the word yirah, and it means to revere, to have reverence for. See, so the scripture that I read from the Message version transliteration of it reminds us that we need to put God first in our lives. Which brings us to why we celebrate Pentecost. You know, our powerhouse teachers and all the faith development, when we are gathering every Sunday upstairs, it's not about education. If you think it is, we've got it wrong. Because, see, education is about knowledge. And wisdom is about God. And so what we're trying to do when we are anytime, anywhere in this church, is to get your head and your heart together. to help you to understand that God loves you no matter what. That there isn't anything that you can't do to separate you from that love of God. So what we do upstairs in Powerhouse Kids, what we do in Agape Youth, what we do in our G2 groups, what we do here on Sunday and Saturday when we worship is to try to allow the Holy Spirit, which is alive and active, that we celebrate today to help you catch the fire. The fire of God's love. The fire in your heart. So that it burns. It burns so bright and so hard that all you want to do is seek after God. And when you seek after God, you gain wisdom. See, if you were to go back and read the story of Solomon, you would find out as long as he kept his relationship with God, he was the wisest. But once he started making choices and turning away from God and to other gods in his life, he fell away and he lost. He lost that ability to be as wise as he once was. He made poor choices. See, when you have God in your life and you seek out God, you have the opportunity to make right choices because God is walking with you each and every moment of the day. See, that's the promise of Pentecost. You know, Jesus, when he was crucified, the night before he was crucified, said to his followers, and then we read in the Gospel of John, that he had to leave. He had to go. He had to die. Because if he didn't, then the Holy Spirit would not come. You see, in the Old Testament, God would send the Spirit for a certain amount of time to a certain person for a certain and specific moment, a job to do. But when Jesus came, God says, I'm going to bring my very self to dwell in your life daily. And that's why Jesus told his disciples to wait in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come, the guide, the counselor, the Holy One, the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, to connect us, to bring us into a relationship that allows God to dwell into our hearts, into our lives each and every day. So fear of the Lord is to love God. Fear of the Lord is to know God. It says this in Acts 2. It's a promise. For the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him. If you say yes to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit becomes a part of your life and empowers you and is with you the rest of your days. It is a promise from God. Isn't that amazing? That God says that I love you so much, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, but I am going to be with you always till the end of the age. God decided that He needed to be in contact with us intimately each and every moment of the day through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we are here today to show off and wear our red to remind us that Pentecost is the fire. Are you ready to catch it? Fear the Lord, catching the fire. Fear the Lord, catching the fire. And I want to leave you with this. It goes on to say in 1 John that there is no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out fear. Now, this is not the fear Yira in the Old Testament. It's a Greek word that I can't pronounce. I'm sorry. I practiced, but it wouldn't come out right. But it means terror. It means fear. And there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. You know what perfect love is? The love that God has for each and every one of you as a child of God. You see, you are all a little preschooler in God's eyes. You are all a third grader in God's eyes. You are all a doctor of law in God's eyes. Wherever you have
gone wherever you are going, God's perfect love will cast out the fear in front of you so that you can walk forward in peace, in comfort, in joy, and in strength. Amen.